Now, I am joined by Head of Housing and Policy Research and Development with Dublin City Council, Dahi Downey. Dahi, good afternoon and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Northside Today.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am well. Dahi, I have spoken to a number of councillors in the past who were present and who actually went out to Vienna and looked at the housing model there, and most of them that I have spoken to said that this, if you'll pardon the pun, is model made for Dublin. Number one, your views on that, and number two, maybe if you could explain what the Vienna model in relation to public housing is.
Okay, well, we'll start with the latter very quickly. People may have heard about this Vienna model now over the past few months. It's becoming quite a topical issue for conversation and information. It refers to a number of things, but what we're talking about here in this specific instance is the exhibition called the Vienna Model Housing for the 21st Century. In April of this year, Dublin City Council was working in partnership with the City of Vienna and its housing agency, as well as the Irish Housing Agency, to put together an exhibition, which then went on a little tour of city venues, including venues in Dublin Docklands, in Ballymun, and in Inchcore in the west of the city. And the emphasis of the exhibition really is to illustrate how the city of Vienna has changed its approach to housing over the years and what it's achieved by establishing a broad, general needs, public-based rental model. So the exhibition illustrates 60 prototypical Viennese housing types across a whole range of different designs and typologies, mansions, apartments, smaller housing, more typically the more suburban style housing that we may understand, and so forth. And it brings forward a whole series of different histories and experiences around that, going all the way back actually to 1917 and the First Republic in Austria. There are a whole series of different thematics attached to this, and perhaps one of the most topical at the moment that we were discussing this week was the role of public housing in advancing actions on climate change by improving thermal efficiencies, by improving the heating systems and the various mechanisms for insulation and so forth that can be established via public housing model. So that's where we're at. There's a lot in the exhibition. It's very engaging. And the second part to your question was, what do councillors think of it, or what have they thought of it? And there's a real engagement from across the political spectrum, from all parties really, in the idea that the public housing model that the Viennese have established is a particularly relevant one to the circumstances we're facing in our housing issues today.
Is it specific, really, we'll say, to the issues that, as you described, that we're facing in our housing problems? Is that just it, or is there, and I'll use this word because it probably will make sense, is there a correlation between the hinterland in Vienna and the hinterland in Dublin, insofar as, you know, are the cities comparable, that you could actually transpose the Vienna system into Dublin?
They are comparable on a number of indicators, actually, Donny. Like the size of the city is comparable, the history of the city is comparable at times. But of course, you know, it is a different place and it has a very different experience and history. Quite different, actually, when you get into it.
Obviously, I mean, and without going down the rabbit hole of two world wars, like, I mean, it
well,
would be.
Well, yes.
But tell me this one, Dahi, and it's very interesting, and I have a habit of asking maybe two or three questions together to give you a good run at it.
Okay, perfect.
We are, any of us that are familiar with Dublin are familiar with the street layout, and some of them are fine thoroughfares, more than very narrow, so very restricted. That's one aspect of it. Also, which is something that keeps coming up time and time again, is the lack of a proper public transport system in Dublin. So if you were to compare Vienna with Dublin in relation to just those two aspects alone, is there a comparison there?
Yeah, there is. And in fact, we're in a lesser space, you might say, particularly on the latter. The Viennese have a very well-established and quite developed public transport system. We're not there yet. One of the things that they do very well in Vienna is that they build the critical public infrastructure before they build the housing. This is something that they've got to over years now. It wasn't always that case, but they wouldn't establish a new housing neighborhood or area in any major form without ensuring first and foremost that all the critical infrastructure from public transport through to education and health in particular was already there. And this is a very important lesson for us to learn about place making. We tend to and have, I suppose, somewhat reduced our debate on the housing issues to matters of units as well as prices. They're always very relevant to the particular circumstances of somebody's facing into an option today about purchase or rent. But one of the things we're not talking about as much is the placemaking that is required in order to make any place where you live and all places where people live sustainable, attractive. Words like livability come out, which is another make-up word. But basically, it's all about how you engage and participate, whether you're included and whether the design and the layout and the schema and the street orientation, as you've mentioned, works for you across your age and across your circumstances. That's a broad set of criteria, and in there most people will find themselves at some stage, from either being elderly or being young with a younger family or with a single person, whichever it might be, working or commuting or transport, participating at school, all of that rich milieu that makes up our living places, our neighbourhoods. These are things that sometimes get taken for granted when they're successful, but they're very hard to maintain if we don't have that critical infrastructure and we don't have a clear sense of what's planned for. So we're learning a lot more about those things, what goes well and why it goes well. And it is the case that we should be paying more attention to the received knowledge. You know, people locally have a lot of information about how things work and why things came to be the way they are. It's not always the case that we start the conversation about new housing at that point. It's one of the things we've learned from Vienna, is that without that conversation, without that dialogue locally, people don't participate in creating the future of the area they live in. And we get into all sorts of difficulties around planning objections or reactions to proposals because people are very remote from the process. That's something we do need to learn from Vienna.
Yeah, and I suppose, Dahi, just to emphasise the point you made there, if we were to learn anything, we should learn everything as such from the disaster that was Ballymun, when they built the towers and didn't have the infrastructure in place, and the commissioning of the infrastructure was long-fingered, and in fact, of course, long-fingered to the extent that it never actually happened, and that led to untold problems, and we're still seeing the repercussions of that to this day. So let's hope that we have learned from that. I suppose in the real world that you and I live in, everything comes down to price. So let us say that in the morning you are given your wish to bring the Vienna model to Dublin and set it up and roll it out. In relation to the way we're going, is it going to be more expensive or are we going to save money?
I suppose if you stand back from it, you'll see that there are real opportunities to transfer elements of the Viennese model more immediately into Ireland, and particularly into Dublin and the greater Dublin area. And the one thing that we have got some advancement on and coherence on is the government commitment and the policy commitment to develop a new housing tenure called cost rental. Now, effectively, at its simplest, it describes housing that's built and maintained at cost, and that is the rent that you're charged. So it's not housing that's built and maintained for profit and only supporting a market-based rent. It's quite a quick thing to say, but there's a number of complexities in it. But effectively, the Viennese have evolved a housing finance mechanism whereby they're able to ensure the production of quality, new, affordable housing, highly designed, wonderfully integrated across a number of functions of space that we've described, transport, education and so forth, but critically at a point that remains affordable for the majority of people over the lifetime of its use. And this is the outstanding achievement of the city of Vienna. It's the reason why the city of Vienna is voted the number one place to live internationally and has been for the last 10 years, 11 years, I think it is, since this Mercer Quality of Life Index survey began. In Vienna, your typical two-bedroom apartment of about 55 to 65 square metres is available to you at around 700 euro per calendar month, which is a substantially lower figure than what is available in the market in at present here. One of the reasons
just to cut across, yeah, would it be fair to say that depending which way you look at this, in the right location or the wrong location, if you happen to be an unfortunate tenant of one of those, you could be looking at anything up to three times that in Dublin?
Well, we know where the market is in Dublin. The data on the rent index was only released yesterday from the Residential Tenancies Board. We know there's a escalation in prices, which is, you know, eye-watering at times. And we know that the consequence of that is that we're reducing people's disposable income and putting increased pressure on their ability to afford an appropriate place of residence. And there are, you know, additional costs moving back into society as a result of that. And there are interruptions in how people live as a result of that. That I think that's very well known. What the cost rental option offers is a much longer term view as to how we achieve a moderate and stable housing system where there is a role for both public and private rented properties, where returns and annual yields are available that are appropriate and useful to investors and attractive to investors, and where in general terms there is a lot more stability and security for tennants. The Viennese have a saying in German that translates into something along the lines that the one thing that they're most proud of is you know very little about us based on where we live, or our addresses don't tell you who we are, is the other way of putting it. This is something that, you know, when you reflect on it, you think, well, that's quite an achievement, actually, because, you know, we attribute various values to different places and locations and neighbourhoods based on the price, the transactional price of going to live there. And the Viennese are not really setting themselves up to identify themselves on that basis. They're looking about, I'll be identified on the basis of what's happening in my neighbourhood. Maybe it's an area famous for a sports stadium or some other cultural institution, or it's a park, or there's some element of the society's identity and character that is notable for living here. And it is more, you know, it's a different way of looking at how we live, but it's certainly a much more enriching, a more kind of vivacious way of getting around, being part of the urban space, and indeed other places as well. But to come back to it, we do have, the city does have commitments to develop cost rental as a pilot scheme, one in Ballymun. You've mentioned Ballymun. We have lands in Ballymun which are available for development, and another in Inchicore in Dublin 8. And we are also partnering with other agencies as we develop strategically the options of housing. We're advocates for this, I suppose, looking at the long-term requirements of the city in terms of making sure that we can continue to be a great place to live in, that people afford to live in, that people choose to live in and desire and want to live in. It means being very serious about, you know, establishing an appropriate, affordable public rental tenure.
Would Clwyd Housing be kind of a good example, or maybe I won't say a good example, would it be the nearest example of that that we would have in Dublin at the moment?
Which housing? Sorry, I didn't quite catch it. You broke up.
Clwyd Housing.
Oh, Clwyd Housing. Yeah, well, Clwyd, one of our very well established approved housing bodies, working closely in partnership with the city, actually, on the deep retrofit and regeneration of St Mary's Mansions, and previously in Killarney Court as well, in the north of the city. And an excellent organisation, one of many that have come forward over the years, such as TUA or Circle, and Respond and others that you may have heard of, who have worked, you know, in partnership with local government, not just Dublin City Council, and who take the opportunity to develop and redevelop schemes as single purpose public housing, and it's great. But we don't have enough organisations of that scale to really step up yet to the overall challenge. Now, we're heading the right direction, but we do need more investment. And I suppose that's the final point that the V&Es are driving back, is the overall argument about how housing works within the economic system. So housing is a system within itself, you might argue, because there's all sorts of different aspects of tenure and issues to do with price and the standards that you occupy your residence in. But in and of itself, it is also part of the broader economy. It's a two-way street. And when your housing system gets out of kilter, your economy starts to get interrupted in a way that's very significant. And this is not just matters of GDP growth and so forth. This is actually the lived experience of, you know, whether people are going to desire to come and live and continue to work in your economy in the location that you are developing your economy. Very fundamental issues. So if we look back on the topical matters that we're looking about, you know, trying to do something about today, about producing accessible and affordable housing that's stable and good quality, but also trying to move away from, you know, longer term commutes and various, you know, expensive and challenging transport systems, then we're beginning to understand more about the role of housing and where it's located, how it's built and how it's used, and for whom and at what price, that these things are absolutely central to the next stage of economic development in Dublin and the greater Dublin region.
Yeah, well, I think, Dahi, you'll agree with me that if you are right in what you say about our housing being out of kilter and causing a knock-on effect to the economy, our housing is well out of kilter at the moment. Dahi, this sounds to me, and I am extremely grateful to you for your interview this morning and the time and the effort you went to explain this, plus what I have spoken to, or what I have gleaned from my chats with various councillors who have actually gone out and seen this model in operation. It sounds like an absolute no-brainer, okay? So, if I'm right up to this point, the next logical question is, have you spoken to, and if so, what's Owen Murphy's attitude towards it?
Well, cost rental schemes are part of government policy, and that's why the City Council and its partners are working towards developing a cost rental scheme on the lands I noted. The Land Development Agency has expressed its interest in developing cost rental models. The Housing Agency is developing a cost rental model in South in Dunleara Rathdown. And I suppose a friend of mine in Vienna said to me that Ireland is the champion of pilots in Europe. You know, we're pilot central. We're always piloting things. And her comment was more directed about the fact that we need to be very serious about mainstreaming and regularizing these approaches, so it's not just once off or just over there, but that becomes a much more central way of going forward. I think there's a real opportunity to rethink how public housing works for people in Ireland and to reconsider how if a public housing model that allows quality housing to be built for the development sector and for the construction industry to get involved in building really well-designed 21st century near-zero energy buildings using all of the new technologies, employing all the new skills. It's a real win-win moment, as well as offering back to people the choice, the real choice to live and to rent for a long term in a secure and affordable rental option. And I think, you know, the city, we do need to reconsider that as a serious option.
Dai, could I put it to you that if we implemented this model on a wider scale and used up some of the lands that are lying idle at the moment and redeveloped some of the developments that could be redeveloped, that it has a two-pronged benefit? Number one, we might go a long way towards solving our current housing crisis, emergency, whatever phrase you want to use, but also that if we maintain this model, it would prevent us having to revisit the position we're in again down the road.
Yes, yes, I think that's very insightful of you, because really this is an argument for something rather than against. This is an argument for the future, for the construction of how we live and have to continue to live as we face into huge levels of disturbance at a geopolitical level as well as environmentally. And we need to adapt and adopt the best in class when we can. And we're very good at doing this. You know, like Ireland has regularly leapfrogged ahead and taken the time to learn about this and to learn how to do things better is all about keeping a focus on that achievement. So it kind of brings us back to the reason why the exhibition is here. The exhibition is really a great template for just engaging with people at all sorts of level on all aspects of housing. And housing is really a fascinating space to get into, because everybody has and does live somewhere, even if the difficulties of how they live are very much to the fore in terms of housing stress or exclusion. And everybody has a personal experience of this at a certain level of detail. And this is the point of contact that we're after, because we need to ensure that we're able to converse and to dialogue with each other appropriately and really understand what it is that we value. And I think when we're talking about housing in that space, we're going to accelerate towards an improved understanding of what we can achieve. Now, this is much harder to do in the face of really competing demands and very serious issues around homelessness and housing stress, and I'm not underplaying those at all. But what I'm saying is that we need to ensure that we are arguing for something as well, not just against. And I think if we're arguing for a public housing model, which is general needs, which is secure and affordable, and which raises the standards of our capacity and construction and development and design and so forth, I think we're onto something good.
And I, just before I let you go, and time is against us here on this one, because it has been fascinating discussion, the exhibition details, is it open to the public? What times? Where is it?
Oh, absolutely. The exhibition is in the civic offices of Dublin City Council on Wood Quay. It's open to the public, as the offices are, and all day. And it runs till the 25th of this month.
Dahi Downey, Head of Housing and Policy Research and Development with Dublin City Council. Dahi, I really, really appreciate you joining me this afternoon. It has been more than insightful. Dahi, thank you so much indeed.
Thank you. Slán
is
your 24-hour community station.
867 1190.
Near FM.